Thank God for the choir. They saw the way I struggled with the old rugged cross yesterday, and they decided to render it perfectly well. This is one of the hymns I love the most. By the grace of God, I think we'll sing it next week again. Praise God. That's our business, isn't it? Just holding on to the rugged cross. It's not beautiful. It's not shiny. It's not, you know, it's not attractive. But we just hold on to it. And one day, we will lay our shames down for a crown in Jesus' name. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for another glorious opportunity to come into your presence to be enlightened. We thank you because in your word is life. We receive a new life as a result of your word this morning in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, there is a division in the world. We have chosen to be on your side. Father, the blessings of the kingdom will be our portion from today in Jesus' name. Psalm 19 verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Father, we are simple. Make us wise today in Jesus' name. No one who will hear me today will leave this place and go home the same way they have come. You become the trees of righteousness planted by the Lord. You are going to bear fruit, and your life will be gloriously exemplary in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. By the special grace of God, I want to speak to you about a topic that I'm sure you have heard of. If you have not heard of it, you will have heard of it, and you've sang the song, you've talked about it, and I believe that God has laid it in my heart because there's going to be a shift in the house. Somebody is shifting position. I say somebody is shifting position. Your position will change today in Jesus' name. We are talking about those on the Lord's side. Those on the Lord's side. We sing that song a lot. Who is on the Lord's side? I want to know. And we say, "I am on the Lord's side." You will indeed be on the Lord's side in Jesus' name. I want us to open our Bible to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32. I'm going to read verses 26 to 29. Those on the Lord's side. Exodus 32. "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let them come unto me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." Church, who were the sons of Levi? Who were they? Yeah, they were priests. But primarily, they had an assignment in the house of God. Yes. They were supposed to lead worship. They led the worship. was their primary. They were worshippers. Are you a worshipper this morning? Praise the Lord. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. In other words, the worshippers gathered themselves together unto Moses. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Praise God. I'm not asking you to go out and kill your brother. Praise God. But there's something that happened that day. The line needed to have been drawn, and Moses drew the line. There was a need for there to be a separation. And Moses called for separation. You know what? Because when Moses was not there, the people had gone astray. They made the golden calf, and everyone was enjoying the loot they had from Egypt. They brought their earrings, their trinkets, they brought everything that they had. They made that golden calf and they were dancing. And when Moses came and saw what was going on, he said, God, what is happening here? You know, and he said, look, there has to be a separation. There has to be a demarcation. There comes a time when the true worshippers who have to worship God in spirit and in truth have to be separated from those who are not true worshippers. We cannot continue to be members or belong to the mixed multitude. Because you will never know who is different from the other. But today, God is going to cause a separation between you and the mixed multitude in Jesus' name. Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Let them come hither. Let them come to me. If you're on the Lord's side, come here. And the children of Levi moved to Moses. In the world, there is a separation. There is a division between good and bad. Evil and righteousness. There is a separation between God and the kingdom of darkness, God and every other thing, because there is the creator and the creature we had this morning. There is a separation between God and the popular culture. Over time, one of the things that most generations have struggled with has been to try to merge the things of God with the culture of the day. And oftentimes there's a separation between God and the multitude as well. Moses called for that separation on that day, so that it will be clear who is on the Lord's side. For the third time, let me talk about the research I read in Wednesday papers. And ever since I read that particular, the result of that research, I have been, you know, there's a holy anger inside of me. I think it was commissioned by some churches to look at why people are not going to church. You know, everything is subjected to research here. And the result of the research is that people gave four reasons why they don't go to church. How many of us, those who had it yesterday, you can't raise up your hand though, because you didn't read it yourselves. How many of us, those of us who are not here yesterday, read Wednesday's paper and saw the research I'm talking about? Okay. We don't read papers too. Praise God. He said there are four reasons People give for not going to church. The first one is that people in the church, you don't like homosexuals. So they say they are not going to come to church because of that. Secondly,
They said because people in the church,
okay, mostly adults,
they said because people in the church have perpetrated sexual abuse in the country before.
You know, I keep saying it,
that righteousness has to start from the church. Let's stop covering up.
Okay, those of you who are here yesterday, you are not allowed to raise up your hand.
How many of us read our open heavens, for those who use open heavens here? How many of us read it on Friday?
Okay.
You read there.
Praise God.
One of the things that was said there is that you must, you know, that you must speak truth. And I keep telling people, I say, when the church covers up, you might prevent problem right now, but there will be bigger problem in the future. Because the people outside the church, they know what is going on. They know. You think they don't know? They know. They know people who call themselves Christian and live double lives. You think they are stupid? They know. They know when we call ourselves Christians and we are not separate from them and we are not different from them, they know we don't have any testimony to share. Praise the Lord. That is why many of us, when we say, let us invite our friends to come, we can't go to our friends and invite them. Let's be honest. Am I right? Invite them to our church. We can't go and invite them because they know us very well. I told you about a sister who was in the choir here before. And we told people in the church to invite their friends to come. I'm telling you about life story. She got to work. I invited people at work. He said, I'm talking about this church, or not any other church. And told them, we've got a program. So, of course, the people didn't turn up. So one day, the Ghanaian community, they had something to do. So they invited me to come and speak there. So I went with my wife. We spoke. Ah, the people were, you know, the Spirit of God moved in that place. And so they came to me. They said, where is it? Where is your church? Where do you go? I told them, this is where our church is. And they said, is that the church where Sister So-and-so goes to? I said, yes. Oh, he said, she actually invited us for a program to come to your church, but we didn't come. He said, why? Why didn't you come? He said, because when a white man brings her today, a green man will bring her tomorrow. Ask my wife. He said, that's why we didn't come. Because she even told us she's in the choir. We said, if she's in the choir, we never knew. You know, that kind of word can be preached. Where she goes, the church she goes to, we never knew. He said, we thought, look, if she, that's the way she lives her life, we'll not come. Ask my wife. Who is on the Lord's side? Let them move to this side. And the children of Levi moved.
You will move to the Lord's side today in Jesus' name.
Anyway, as I was saying, they said because the church has been abusing, has abused people in the past. The third reason they gave is that the church preaches, talks about sin and damnation. And the fourth reason is because the church uses the Bible. I have a copy of the paper at home. And I was telling people, I won't be surprised if some pastors start not to bring Bible to church. Because you ask them, they say research said so. That if we are going to get people into the church, we must not bring Bible. We must not hold Bible. Who is on the Lord's side? Not on the side of the multitude. Not on the side of the population. Because the Bible tells us that the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord is what? Is perfect. What does it do? It converts the soul. If the world is already good the way it is, there is no need for conversion. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the souls of men. And that is why God wants to know those who are on his side now. Because there is a lot to do. I know it's often very difficult for us to want to take sides. In my work, I've had to see children of parents who have been divorced. And because the father will do everything in his power to curry their favor, the mother will do everything in her power to curry the favor of these kids. In fact, a lot of times they have to take positions. You see, some children will not talk to their mom because if they feel that the mom was wrong, or not talk to their dad if they felt the dad was wrong. It's an uncomfortable position to be. So if you are going to take a decision to be on the Lord's side, sometimes it may be uncomfortable for you. Yet we have to be. We have to, because there is no sitting on the fence. When you are on the Lord's side, you are ready to publicly identify with Him. Romans 1 verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believed." You must come to a point where you are no longer ashamed of the gospel. You must be willing to make sacrifice. Because the Levites, they led the people in sacrifice to our God, in worship. It is not a comfortable position to be in, like I told you. Part of the sacrifice is that some people may even stop talking to you because of your views. You must be ready to speak against evil. Of course, not people, of course. Not people, but the evil. You must be intolerant of unrighteousness. Let's stop feeling comfortable where there is unrighteousness. And we don't say, "Oh, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter." You know? And of course, when we're on the Lord's side, we must do righteousness. We ourselves must do righteousness. Let's go to this passage that I love. You know how much I love it. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6. He said, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom." In other words, the word of the Lord is your own wisdom. That is part of being separate. The word of God is your own wisdom. The world's wisdom is not your wisdom. And your understanding. The word of God is your understanding. That is your worldview. That is the premise from which you are advancing your argument, your reasoning. In fact, your view of the world is jaundiced and colored by the word of God. And your understanding in the sight of the nations, not in the church alone. It's saying in the sight of the nations. In other words, even outsiders, people who are not coming to church, when you are advancing an argument, your premise for argument will be derived from the word of God. That is being separate. In other words, there is nothing you are discussing that you are not putting God into it. There is nothing you are saying without making biblical references. Because God, look, I talk to patients and I tell them, look, permit me to say this. Do you know that the Bible says this? All this thing that I'm telling you is already been written down. Do you know that the Bible says this? It's the old wisdom. It's the enduring wisdom. It's the old understanding. is the evergreen understanding. We shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. In other words, your wisdom will confound the nations, will confound the world. Not just mouthing it, but by reason of the way our life is. I remember something yesterday, because when I got home, they told me somebody came looking for me. And we started sharing that testimony again, how we bought our house. You may have plenty of money to buy your own house. When I bought my house, I didn't have plenty of money like you. Thank God for your lives. I didn't have plenty of money. I was a registrar. I didn't have plenty of money. When I wanted to buy that house, you know, they told me how much somebody else has offered, and the woman didn't sell it to the man. And they asked me how much I was going to put on it. I told them how much I wanted to put on the money and on the house. And the woman told me to add more money. And I told her I don't have money to add. I said, look, because I looked at my salary. I look at how I'm going to be, you know, I didn't even have that opportunity to say, please, if you can't do your shift, give it to me. I will do it. Because I have to be in church. So I said I had no money to add. The estate agent took my offer and took it to the Chinese woman who probably had never stepped into church all her life. And then the following day, she told me that the woman said, no way, that there's no way she could sell that house to me when somebody else has offered something better. And then the day after that, she called me and said the old woman woke up in terror and said, God woke her up. The woman is alive. I can invite her to come here. The estate agent is alive. I can invite her to come. She said the woman woke up in terror and said, God woke her up and said she has to sell the house to me. That day, that she had to sell the house to me, and I quickly settled. That I have to come and settle it. And I went and I settled. And the woman, the estate agent, started coming to church because she said she has never seen a thing like that before in her life. And within a year that she sold the house to me, the price of the place doubled. Praise God. Because God knew the place was going to be doubled. I had to take it from her. Praise the Lord. God knew it was going to be doubled. He had to give it to me. That is wealth transfer. God will transfer wealth to you in Jesus' name. I didn't even have that money. But all I knew was that the word of God was my wisdom. I can invite her to come and she will share the testimony. She now, unfortunately, she doesn't even go to church anymore, but I can invite her to come. But when she, you know, when something happened again, she remembered me. She hasn't seen me for more than a year. She remembered our house and came to our house again. Praise the Lord. Why must we be on the Lord's side? When you are on the Lord's side, you are positioning yourself for promotion above your fellows. When you are on the Lord's side, you position yourself for promotion above your fellows. Let me tell you something. One of the difficulties we often have as children of God is that we want, you know, immediate gratification. We were talking about giving this morning. Some people think when they drop their offering into the offering basket, that as they step out of the church, they will just fall down. Suddenly, they will just see money spread on the road. No, that's not the way it is. If you do not cease in well-doing, what did the Bible say? You will, when it, at the fullness of time, you will reap the reward. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. When you are on the Lord's side, you are positioning yourself to be elevated above your fellows. How many of us would say we don't want promotion here? Look, if before now you never loved promotion, from today, the Lord will change your thinking and he will promote you in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says when the righteous rule, what happened? The people rejoice. Hebrews 1:9, he said, thou hast loved righteousness and hated what? Iniquity. Because people who are on the Lord's side, they love righteousness and they hate iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. So every time, look, let me tell you, every day is an opportunity to decide which side you are on. Every time you choose to love righteousness and hate iniquity, you are on the Lord's side. And the Bible says that the Lord will anoint your head with oil of gladness above your fellows. In other words, everything that will bring joy to your life, the wind of the glory of God will blow it in your direction. If it is healing that you need to find joy, that will come to you. If it's breakthrough in your finances that you need, the wind of the glory of God will blow it in your direction and it will come to you, because your joy has to be full, because you are being anointed from heaven. It's not the kind of anointing that man can give you. It's the anointing that comes out of your reverential worship of God. Not in the church, but not in the church only, but even outside the church. Because every time you choose to do righteousness, you are establishing something. When you choose to be on the Lord's side, you are also positioning yourself for life and peace. Life and peace. Every time that you align yourself with God, I want you to go to Malachi chapter 2. Verse 5 to 7. I've shared this with us before. He said, my covenant with him of life and peace, I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. He's talking about the Levites here. For the priest's lips should keep what? Knowledge. And they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. In other words, because the Levites chose to separate themselves, the Lord said, my covenant of peace and life is with him. Because, you know, the Bible says, in the God we serve is life. In him is life. Again, I want you to open to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Because this is a very heavy one. It's not the kind of thing we like to hear. It's not the kind of thing that we like to hear. But it's written in the Bible. Deuteronomy 32, verse 39 to 43. He says, see now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. You will not be on the wrong side of God in Jesus' name. Because when you choose to be on the Lord's side, you have chosen life. He is the one that can kill, and nobody can make that person alive. He is the one that can wound, and no man can heal that person. And let me tell you something. When he chooses to wound somebody, the individual will labor all his life. He will never get results. Even if he gets results, he will never find happiness. He said, I am God. And there is no God with me. No other God. Nobody can do the kind of things that God does. If he chooses to shut the tap of your nursery right now, I'm telling you, all your knowledge will just go to waste. That's all. Here and there. Look, he will make all the doctors in this church to look foolish because they won't know what to do. You know that? They won't. You will look. Everything you do will just go wrong. I've told you before, one doctor was a PhD holder at the teaching hospital in Ilorin. That day, they brought the man from a private hospital. He came to us. All of a sudden, he just threw up. You know? And as soon as he threw up, what happened? NEPA took light. As NEPA took light, they tell the plant man to put on the generator. They said there was something was wrong with the generator. They couldn't switch on the generator. People did, you know, cardiac massage, mouth to mouth. I would never forget Dr. Aderibigwe did mouth to mouth with vomitors. But there was no sanctioning this thing to sanction this thing, so it was a waste. They tried to run. As soon as they pronounced the man dead, NEPA brought light back. If I will mention the name, you will know him. He was very popular at Kwarapoli. He trained a lot of people there. That day, I can never forget that experience. And it happens here too. Something will just go wrong for that moment. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. He said, he's God. He has life with him. He can shut the tap. He can open it. A lot of people don't know that. He said, for I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revengers upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servant, and will render vengeance to his adversary, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. You better be on the Lord's side. Tell your neighbor, say, you better be on the Lord's side. You cannot afford to not be on his side. He's too powerful. The psalmist realized that. He just looked at himself. And Job also said, he said, who am I? He said, look at me. I am too small. How can I argue with you? How can I contend with you? He was so frightened. He said, can I advance argument against him? Who was there when he created the world? Who was there when he put the firmament in its place? Who was there when he created the moon? Who gave him advice when he chose to make the earth his footstool? Who was there? You know, he just wondered. He said, who? I'm too small. When you are on the Lord's side, God will set you apart. I say God will set you apart. I've shared this with us before. Numbers chapter 3, verse 44 to 45. I've shared that with you before. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of the cat of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. Praise the Lord. You remember I told you how God put, you know, when Jacob was about to die, he called all his children. He spoke to Reuben. He told him what he had done. He told all his children the way, their attitude towards him, and he pronounced blessings on them. He told the Levites, who can remember what he said will happen to the Levites? He said he was going to scatter them. And later, because they chose to be on the Lord's side, God said, I'm going to gather you. Not only did he gather them, he now said they were going to take the position of the firstborn. He separated them from the people. He distinguished them. That same God will distinguish you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know that among the children of God, that God can also distinguish you? Because there are eagles and there are eagles. I learned that not long ago. I've always known anyway that there are eagles and that there are eagles. Praise the Lord. Okay. A man of God was sharing a testimony of how his son came to him and asked him and said, Daddy, do you know the Bible? The daddy said, the daddy is a pastor, he's a renowned pastor. If I mention his name, you will know. He told his son, he said, yes, I know the Bible very well. He said, Daddy, you sure you really know the Bible? He said, yes, I know the Bible. So the son gave him a test and he failed the test. So, you are not allowed to talk, Mama. So, I'm going to put the test to the house. How many of us here know a man called Parmenas in the Bible? Parmenas. Huh? Have you ever heard that name before? Me too. I never heard that name before. So don't feel too bad about yourself. Praise God. Okay. How many of us have heard about the man called Timon? Or Timon? Okay. You are not alone. I never heard that name before. Praise God. What about Nicanor? Nicanor. Oh, you've not heard like me. Praise God. What about Prochorus? Praise God. How many of us have heard about Phillips before? You've heard the name Phillips. How many of us have heard about Stephen before? Phillips and Stephen and all these other names were the first deacons that were appointed. Do you get what I'm saying? God distinguished Phillips and Stephen, and everyone can remember their names. But all the others, you can't even remember their names. Acts chapter 6 verse 5. God will distinguish you in Jesus' name. You ask everybody, they say, we've not heard of them, but they are children of God as well. Because they said, choose among yourself wise men full of the Holy Spirit. They were wise men full of the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you something. Going back to giving and receiving, I told you this morning, I said, look, let me tell you, until you have a revelation, that is what's going to distinguish you. You will come, you will give, you will come, you will give. You just think that's the best way to be. It's true. God will heal you. God will keep you well. But I can tell you that God can bring abundance to your life because you have a revelation. He will change your status. He will change you. He will change your life because you just believe, you have a revelation that if you give, that the Lord will bring abundance to you. These people, they were children of God as well. They were deacons, full of the Holy Spirit. But nobody will remember them. And the Bible said God did special miracles through the hands of Stephen. God will do special things through your life in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 35. Proverbs 3:35. See what God is said to do in your life. So who is on the Lord's side this morning? I say, who is on the Lord's side this morning? Praise the Lord. He said, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the portion of fools. Those who fear God, they are the wise people. Those who will do the will of God, they are the wise people. And the Bible says, you will do what? You are going to inherit glory. Everything that makes life glorious, everything that makes life beautiful, everything that makes life worth living shall be your portion because you love the Lord. I would rather be on the Lord's side. Praise the Lord. I will be on the Lord's side. Ah. Of course, you enjoy divine healing. Divine healing. Exodus 15:26. He says, if you be obedient, if you do this commandment that I give you, he said, I will not put these diseases that I put on the Egyptians upon you. You know, is that not what he says? Yes. Divine healing. Because you're on the side of the Lord and you live in obedience to him. And I saw something. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. So it's good to be obedient to the word of God. But let's just look at something here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22 is the place we normally read. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So we do, you know, keep the commandment. But God, in writing this, was speaking to who? His son. His son. But God now said, for the word to work healing in your life, you first of all have to find the word. Praise the Lord. Remember, it's his word that is spoken to his son. Why then does his son have to find the word? In order to get the healing for his flesh. Can you get what I'm saying here? The Bible is before you. But why do you need to find the word? You are going to find the revelation of the word. That is the word behind the word. And I'm going to show you in the next point that I'm going to make. That you have to find the revelation in the word. Every time you read the word, find the revelation in the word. And I told you something. And I said, look, you haven't got the revelation of the word until it changes something about your life. You haven't got the revelation of the word until it changes the way you look at things. Until it changes the way you behave towards a particular situation. Let me tell you, when you get a revelation of prosperity for your life, you begin to live like a big man. Did somebody hear that? The day you get a revelation of God's prosperity for your life, you stop complaining about what you don't have. That day you start giving like somebody who already has received. The day you catch a revelation of the word of God for healing for your life, that day you walk like a healed person. The day you catch a revelation of the word of God for your joy, that day, from that day, you stop being joyless. You are not going to wake up in the morning and you keep a straight face. And your wife will ask you, daddy, what's wrong this morning? Praise the Lord. The day you get a revelation, praise God, it changes something about you. He can never leave you the same. That is why people will read the word. Because the Bible says, he said, hear they have, but they will not hear. In other words, it is not enough to hear, but you have to hear. Do you get what I'm saying? It is not enough to see. You have to see. I told you about the story of the wife of the pastor. The evangelist went to their church to minister. And this woman had, you know, had problem with her eyes. And this man of God went to pray for her. And as he was praying for her, he asked her, can you see? Then she opened her eyes. The woman said, the man said, shut your eyes. Was praying for her again. I said, can you see? The woman said, try to open her eyes. He said, no, shut your eyes. And the woman was wondering in her heart, how can I see when you don't allow me to open my eyes? Until something clicked in her understanding. And the man said, can you see? He said, I can see. And she opened her eyes and she could see. Praise the Lord. Because she saw in the eye of the spirit. And then it got translated into the physical. That's why you can't catch a revelation and your life be the same. Because you are already operating at the level of the revelation before any other person can see. And they will say, you see, that's why somebody was riding a Volkswagen and was preaching prosperity. And people say, please, my friend, stop preaching prosperity because everyone is saying that you are driving Volkswagen and we have to push it for you. And the guy said, I will preach prosperity. Today he's riding 4 planes. Praise the Lord. So you can stay there and, you know, sometimes we just stay there and laugh and mock the word of God and say, you will never see. Because seeing, you will never see. Hearing, you will never hear. Until you begin to see beyond seeing and hearing beyond hearing, then nothing will work. Can somebody see that God is doing something here? Praise the Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Who is on the Lord's side? I am on the Lord's side. That is why there are many people who are walking, but they are lame in this world. You hear that? There are many people who are going around seeing, but they are blind. There are many people who are going around hearing, but they are deaf. Because they are deaf to what the Spirit is saying. They are blind to what the Spirit is showing them. They are walking away from the direction of the move of the Holy Spirit. And so they are stagnating or moving backwards. Your story will not be like that in Jesus' name. The other thing is this. When you're on the Lord's side, you are being positioned for revelation. Because we need that revelation to change the world. You know, to convert the currency of the world to the life in Jesus Christ that works everything for our good. Is that revelation? So when you're on the Lord's side, you are positioning yourself for revelation. I've told you before that the laws of almost all the Western nations are modeled after the Bible. So as for knowledge, people have knowledge of the law. They have knowledge of the Bible. Everything is written. It's, you know, pattern about that. You know, so knowledge is not to go to pick up the Bible and read. It's not the problem. Everyone can read the Bible. But what makes the difference? What will distinguish you between you and the person who has ordinary knowledge or who can just read the Bible is that revelation part of things. And God will show you himself in Jesus' name. I say God will reveal himself to you in Jesus' name. Let's open to the book of Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. Listen to this. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. This is the key. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. In other words, when people hear the word of God, it's an ordinary word to the world. It's an ordinary word. It's just a saying to the world. But for you that will spend time with the Holy Spirit, that will spend time in the presence of the Lord, the Lord converts it into converts the mystery into a working miracle in your life. He said, because unto you it is given to know the mysteries. Some people had the parable and they just went away and it was just what it meant to them. But in it, for some people who took time to spend time with Jesus alone, there was a conversion. He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. You will know the mystery of the kingdom of God from today in Jesus' name. You see, those who only go to crusade will never know these mysteries. Those who only come to church on Sunday, you will know little of the mysteries. It comes with being alone with who? With Jesus. That's why I say, well, you see, our worship is not a plaything. You have to take it seriously. Diligence. Those who cannot receive the word, they will not see any mystery in it. They will go over and over again. You will read and read and read and read and read, and it means what it says. Because the currency converter has not converted it to the currency of heaven for you to exchange. Praise the Lord. But for those who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, as you read it, it leaps at you. Sometimes, ask my wife, I told you I woke up at 3 a.m. You know, when something comes to, when I get excited about something, did you know something I've just found? I've read the Bible and the Bible says this. Praise God. Look at this way. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Verses 9 and 10. He says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself. Listen to this, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, all things in what? In who? In Christ Jesus. That at the fullness of time, he might gather all things together in one, you know, in Christ Jesus. Your breakthrough is in Christ Jesus. God has gathered everything together and put it in him. Your blessing is in Christ Jesus, because God has gathered everything together. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is already in Christ Jesus. That is why we need revelation. Abundance and riches, peace and life, health and vitality, power and influence. He said he had gathered everything. How many things? All things. He gathered them and he has put them. No wonder the Bible says in him we can consist and have our being. Everything. He's already packaged everything and put it in Christ Jesus. So that Christ has become the key that opens the treasure chest of heaven. And he will open unto you today in Jesus' name. You know, even in this dispensation, the word of the Father is still foolishness to some people. So some people will just hear it and it's just ordinary word. In fact, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't really make sense to them. Open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 29. God is said to prosper somebody in the house. I say God is said to prosper somebody in the house. I say God is said to prosper someone in the house. God is said to prosper someone in the house. Deuteronomy 29 verse 9. He said, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that ye that you do. Keep that word. Do them. When you get the revelation, it changes you. It makes you do things that are extraordinary, things that are foolish. Look, when Noah got the revelation, there was no record that he was preoccupied with anything else. All that he was preoccupied with was building the ark, and it was foolishness to everyone that saw him. Can you imagine somebody just wake up? When you can't see anything, you just say it's construction and ark. Rain is going to fall. God has told me he's going to destroy the world. Rain is going to fall. Year in, year out. First year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, 10 years, 20 years. Nothing's happened. Since I happen to be a psychiatrist, I think we'll diagnose him with schizophrenia. Honestly, you just think something is wrong with him. Am I right? You will. But he saw. He saw it coming. And he persisted. I've told people, if it's your household alone, God will not reject you. God just wants souls to come in. Praise the Lord. Those who will do his will, those who will stay on his side. That's all he wants. Noah and his family, they were the only few people. And God used what he's got. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26 in the same line. I will read verse 3 to 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 3 to 5 says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Can you see that you need a revelation of God? He saw him with a revelation. You know, he said, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to do what? To prosper. You need vision to prosper. Tell your neighbor, say you need vision to prosper. Praise the Lord. And of course, when you're on the Lord's side, without saying it or laying too much emphasis, you enjoy divine protection. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. Proverbs 1, 33. You enjoy divine protection when you're on the Lord's side. Proverbs 1:33. He said, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Praise the Lord. You can go to Isaiah 28:16, 1 Peter 2:16, in the same vein. God says, look, you begin to enjoy quietness and peace because you have chosen to be on the Lord's side. And lastly, you benefit from what I call transferable covenants. Transferable covenant. When you are on the Lord's side, you enjoy transferable covenant. Transferable covenant. Not only will the Lord be good to you, he will be good to your children after you, he will be good to generation that will come after you. Psalm 92 from verse 12, it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. That's what the Bible says. you will continue to prosper and flourish. You will prosper and flourish. And Genesis chapter 18 verse 19 says, he said concerning Abraham, he said, because I know he will instruct his children after him to do according to my commandment. He said, I will fulfill my promises as I've made it unto Abraham. In other words, there's going to be transfer of covenant. Remember that Abraham was great. And Isaac was what? Was very great. And what happened to Jacob? Was exceedingly great. There's transfer of covenant. And that will be the portion of your family in Jesus' name. Can you rise on your feet? Just worship the Lord. Glorify Him. Magnify the Lord. He is good. There is no God like our God. There is no God like Jehovah. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Just declare to the Lord and say, Father, I'm on your side. I am on your side because in your presence there are pleasures forevermore. Blessings will abound unto me because I know that in you is life. In you is the glory. In you is the ability to make to be alive. In you is the ability to save. I am on your side, O God. Pray to God and say, anything that would, Father, destroy everything that would take me away from you in Jesus' name. Everything that would take me away from you, O Lord, destroy it in my life in Jesus' name. Everything else that will not allow me to move to your side, Jesus, I don't want to see them anymore in my life. I want to worship you without limit. I want to worship you without limit. I want to worship you without limit. That everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that I can ever be, can be laid on the altar to worship the Almighty God. I am on your side. Prosper me, O God. Tell God to prosper you. There will be transfer of the riches of the heathens to you. Say, God, bless me. Begin to see in the eye of the Spirit how influential you are becoming. Godly way. How your opinion matters a lot. How you have the wherewithal and the resources to influence the world to follow Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word today. We know that containing your word is everything that we need. Because Jesus is the completeness of all that we can ever need. Everything has been gathered together and deposited in Him. Open our eyes to see the great resources of heaven as in Jesus Christ today in Jesus' name. Lord, we are not going to walk out of this place the same. We are going to catch a revelation of your word that will change our lives and our attitude in Jesus' name. After hearing this word, if we remain the same, it means something has not changed. Something has not happened. We will not be one of those people in Jesus' name. Somebody is moving up. Somebody is changing position. Somebody is being lifted. Somebody is being promoted in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.